from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, Yodish beings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Jedi, you know, whether you're a clone or you like to say Fanoni, something, I don't know how to say it, but, or you just make it like making up words, or you get mixed up when you're trying to start off a podcast. I want you to know you're welcome here. You're by saying welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, Brody, before we get moving forward here, I just want to let you know Sleep With Me is designed to be as safe a place I can make it to put you to sleep and take your mind off of stuff. But if you need more help, there's links to organizations you could connect with right now in our show notes. And if you're in a place where you're getting the rest and you want to be a part of positive change, if you want to support the Black members of our community and say Black Lives Matter with your actions, there's links to organizations you could connect with in our show notes as well. And you can always find our sponsors that enable us to bring you this podcast free twice a week in your show notes. All that stuff you say, even if you're not, you're in bed right now, you say, when your hand hits that fridge tomorrow or that coffee pot, you say, sleepwithmepodcast.com. All right, thanks. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show. Not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. This is a part of the podcast that keeps it free. It's where I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors, then amplified their support by sharing it in their Instagram stories, sharing it on TikTok, Twitter, letting the sponsors know they heard about them on the show. I want to thank Eve, who signed up for Beachbody. I want to thank Sunshine Teacup, who got sleep phones, Eli, who got a set of sleep phones, Sin, who supported Celestial Seasonings, and Nicole and Kate, who both got some native deodorant. Oh boy, do I appreciate you. Thank you so much. This really works to keep the show free. So if you're like Eve, Sunshine Teacup, Eli, Sin, Nicole, or Kate, and you support a sponsor, take a minute, especially if it's a bigger sponsor that's been with the show for a long time, like Helix, Progressive, BetterHelp, Celestial Seasonings, any of the sponsors, let them know about it. Put it in your story or whatever when you support them. Then let me know about it. I'll try to thank you here on the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. There's links to resources you can connect with right now in the show notes. Helpline and text lines. Please use them. Please use them right now if you need them. Please, you're important. You know what else is important is the members of our community, and not just saying Black Lives Matter, but living it. And that means taking steps, looking inward, and learning what it means to be anti-racist. There's going to be links to organizations you can connect with in our show notes. The third part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support, and that's supporting some organizations locally. And Carl W. has sent me a list, and this is the next thing on Carl W.'s list. What about a neighborhood park cleanup? Neighbors organized through social media, meet at a specific time and place with trash bags and clean up an area that needs it. In New York City, the Parks Department budget, you know, has been reduced and reduced and reduced. So volunteer support for parks and public spaces is a huge help. So look around, see if that exists in your local area. If not, maybe you could get it started. And that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard. A lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Zone.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. We're raising money for the Water Wheel Foundation. And Scooter might get a perm.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about on your mind, feelings, so thoughts about the past, present, or future, any emotions or feelings coming up for you. I know we've talked about emotions and emoting, but if we talked about remotes and emotes, remote and emote rhyme, and I probably realized that before, but if there's feelings keeping awake, it could be physical sensations. It could be some sort of change in your life or your routine. It could be situational stuff or seasonal stuff or just some noise. I don't know, like the term refurbishment is like something like hotels and theme parks use. But if you're nearby a refurbishment, I mean, I feel like I've been going through, I could use a refurbishment. But whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. What I'm going to do is I got this safe place I'm going to set aside. I'm going to rub it. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to pat it down. I'm going to say safe place. I'm going to set this, have this safe place smoothed and patted and set aside. And what I'll do is I'll send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. Superfluous tangents. So it means I would go off topic. I'll get mixed up and then I'll say, huh, I never thought of that anyway. And then I'll go off topic again in a meandering way where you say, well, because some people go off topic, but they get to the point and then they get back to, but I don't do that. But all of that is to keep you company while you fall asleep, to take your mind off of stuff. That's really my job. And that's the first thing if you're new. I'm so glad you're here. Regular listeners, how about a round of silent applause or finger applause? Or, you know, people don't really raise the roof anymore. But you could do a one-handed raising. I call it the curl bump, like poofing your hair in a welcome. We got to come up with something like that. Maybe that'll be it. We'll cup our elbows. We'll kiss our shoulders in honor of the new listeners. Oh, new listeners, we're so glad you're here. Yeah, I'm cupping my elbows, man. That is soothing. Holy moly. Talk about underrated. Here's another thing. If somebody says, are you crossing your arms and glaring? You should only use this when you're telling the truth. We say, no, I'm cupping my elbows and chill in a thoughtful, soothing way. This is what I'm doing. Have you ever cupped your elbows? What's the difference between folding your arms across your chest and cupping your elbows? Intention, man. I'm not aware. My arms are crossed for a purpose, so my hands can cup my elbows, just like Elton John sang, "Cup me softly, tiny elbows." And he never sang that song, but "Cup me gently, I'm an elbow." That's what he's saying. Also, he might have said that other one. Oh wow, how I cup you, tiny elbow. So anyway, if you're new, what I wanted to let you know is just a few things you might want to know. One, this podcast is pretty different, and it's not everybody's cup of tea, but the people who eventually like it, and that's, I mean, I'll just be honest with you, eventually like it, they say it took two or three times. Because even people that listen to like Elton John podcasts or body awareness podcasts, you probably never heard all those things associated at once, or introversion podcasts. And you say, I don't know if that would make sense on any of those anyway, Scoots. And I'd say, well, yeah, put together, they make sense on a sleep podcast, barely. So that's it. Part one is like a kind of a two-parter. I'm not everyone's cup of tea, so give it a few tries and see how it goes. But this is also not a podcast you really listen to. I think that's one thing that throws new people off, because you're listening. And that's why I try to take this time to tell you and tell you again and again. Say, that's okay. It's okay you're listening to me right now. Like, maybe it leads to you cupping your elbows. I'm going to cup one elbow. Not as good as cupping two elbows. What do I mean by cupping? Just holding in the palm of my hand, more of my fingers, my cupped fingers. My fingers are cupped and my elbow's in it. So I'm cupping my elbows. I-C-U-P in your elbows. And you say, wait a second. Any kids, feel free to giggle. Or adults, kids at heart. I-C-U-P-P-ing your elbows. I say, you do? Because that would be hard to pull off. I probably wouldn't be good for my back. Oh, so I'm a podcast you barely listen to. Acquired taste, that's okay. It also takes a few times to realize you kind of just barely listen to me. I'm here to keep you company, but I'm your friend that doesn't make a lot of sense or that doesn't talk about it. You say, well, we're friends because I like being around you. We really don't share a whole lot of interests. Like, you know, when you're around a friend, you really feel comfortable about, or when you miss, right now, I've got that forlorn missing my friend feeling of the friends you could be around and there's no social pressure at all. Like, you could be in a car and you could not talk for hours. You could be in a car and you could not talk for hours. You say, that was great. I didn't feel like I had, I say, why didn't you talk to me that whole, I say, oh, I didn't realize that. I really enjoyed, that's what I love about you. I don't get to talk to you. Well, I was talking the whole time about my miniature collection and the history of Funko. And I say, oh yeah, no, I remember that part. I was talking about me. So this podcast, there's no guilt, though, because that's what I'm here for. You don't have to listen. I'm here to talk and say stuff that you just barely have to pay attention to. This podcast also does not put you to sleep. So not only is it a podcast you're supposed to normally you'd listen to, this one you don't really, it's also a sleep podcast. We were kind of like the original sleep podcast, but we don't put anybody to sleep. It's irony, I think. I'm here to keep you company while you fall asleep, and then if you can't sleep, this is the only podcast that puts people to sleep, but if you can't sleep, I'm here to keep you company, and that's really my strongest and highest mission, is to be here whether you need me or not, so that you could count on me I'll be here rambling. So those are a couple of things that throw new people off. Podcast is a bit different, takes some getting used to. You don't really listen to it. It doesn't really put you to sleep. It just keeps you company. Other thing is the structure of the show. And it serves a purpose, but it definitely is not like the structure of other shows. Starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Yodish beings everywhere. You know, whether you're from Jeddah or you're a Jedi, I want you to feel welcome. So that's a greeting. Then there's business. That's how we keep the show free, which is what I like. Anybody can listen whenever they want. And the people that support the sponsors enable us to do that. Then there's an intro. The intro goes from minute six, eight to minute 20-something. And during the intro, I kind of just, I've been told in not so nice terms and lots of nice terms, man, in the intro, you really never get to the point. Most of that's positive. They say, you never talk about anything of substance. You kind of almost do. And I say, yeah, that's, I work really hard at it. So the intro, the idea of the intro is that it introduces new people to podcasts, but for regular listeners and new people, it gives you a chance to unwind. And as you become a regular listener, you could kind of decide how you want to use the intro. There's 3% of people that skip ahead to 20 minutes. There's some people that listen to intros most of the time. Sometimes they skip them. And then there's a variety of listeners that listen to the intro in different ways. So some people are in bed getting cozy. Oh boy, you look so cozy there. Other people are starting their bedtime routine or getting ready for bed or doing something relaxing or just laying around chilling. So that's the other way to use it. Or some people are waking up or listening all night. So you can kind of see how it goes. And you could switch it up. I mean, the podcast gets used at different times by different people in different ways. But the whole purpose of the intro is to give you some separation, to let the sun set on the day, but to give you some sort of warm light in the night to keep you company. I guess like a night light, but I don't use night lights because I try to get my room as dark as possible, and then these lights keep popping. I say, where'd that light come from? What is up with that? Even the ones that have settings, they say, oh no, well, only one of our two lights has a setting to turn it off. The other one's always on. And I say to the, well, what in the heck? Why'd you put a setting on only one of the two lights? For convenience, customer feedback. I say, well, could you get that? It's active. Okay, never mind. So that's the intro. Then there's business between the intro and the show. That's how podcast business intro, that's just podcast structure. Then there'll be our discussion of The Mandalorian, and that'll probably go from minute 20 to minute 60-something, I think. I recorded it yesterday. It's pretty long. And we'll have Wendy Marshrap in there, and then some thank yous. So that's the structure of the show. The only other thing to know is the reason I make the show is because, I know how it feels in the deep, dark night. Tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. I've been through all those things. So if I can help with that, it would be my honor, because I don't want you to have to dread bedtime. My goal is to either make it something that feels neutral or something you say, well, at least Scoots will be there. My boar bud, my boar bae, my boar bestie, my boar friend, my boar burr, whatever, to keep me company and take my mind to stuff and be a little goofy or a lot goofy. So that's one thing. The other thing is you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place you could rest. And if you get that rest, your life will be more manageable. Your life will be fuller. And our world will be a better place to live in. Like I said, and then you could be a port in someone's storm or that calm listener. or you'll be calm and be able to, you know, better care for yourself or your family or the people you encounter during the day. You don't have to do that, like, but it's a way I kind of I romanticize my job. But it really, what it comes down to is you're important and you getting the rest you need is important. And sometimes it can be hard to feel that way, but it's true. So I guess that's it. I'm really glad you're here. I work really hard on this show. I really yearn and I strive. I appreciate you coming by, and I really hope I can help you get some sleep. Thanks. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo. Modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's Scoots here. This is it, the final episode of the season. The Mandalorian is allies attempt to something rescue, according to the, oh boy, I'm not super skilled at it. It always starts where I ended the episode, and then I got to do, well, here's what happens. Then I have to do the scroll back. With my right hand, I'm left-handed, but my notes are in my left hand. So, you know, like I'm holding my notes calmly in my left hand. I didn't know that I held my notes normally in my left hand, but that's my quieter hand, I think. So then I had to reach up and make sure that the Mandalorian got back. And then I scrolled over to another, and then I had to scroll back here to Mandalorian. And this episode ends with, compared to last season, this episode does, I'm going to try not to spoil like one thing. And I guess we'll just go on a little tangent here before we get started. I did manage not to be spoiled. I'm pretty good at that. I did happen to look at a friend's Twitter the morning because I thought I'd be safe. Like, so Mandalorian comes out on Fridays, I think, is which never does serve correctly anyway. It was actually the Mystery Bard's Twitter because I was looking for a song of his. And then I saw that he posted just something about the emotions. He didn't actually post a spoiler, but he talked about like having crying at the end of the or during the episode. So that did not spoil me and actually ended up working out as a big misdirect for me in a good way. It also reminded me that day to say, okay, you know, social media lockdown or whatever, let's stay clear until we watch it. So I don't want to, I guess if you're listening to this, you'll probably be able to figure it out, or you probably already got spoiled. If I do spoil it for you, I apologize, but hopefully hopefully it'll spoil your dreams in a good way. And you say, who says cutie patootie? Or is that someone in my personal life that says that? I think it's a character and something. But we're back on the plus here. I'll run through a couple pages of my notes like we've been doing. You have something I want. Jin Jaren says, Darksaber, does he have it? Doctor, Tano, I don't know what that says. Typhon, I think. Gorge, Grogu. Stress, Grogu zone. Maybe that says Grogu stares. Not my Jedi. No one said that. Not my Jedi left. Not many Jedi left. Grogu out. Moffin, Mando message, Lucasfilm, Star Wars. And then we have an Imperial shuttle, or former Imperial shuttle, Boba and versus the Boba ship. Boba 1 calling. Can you come in? Oh, it's not the name of your ship. Sorry, Boba. This is Scooter calling Boba 1. Come in, Boba 1. Oh, it's still not called Boba 1 over? Go ahead, Boba 1. Oh, no, it's not Boba 1. Boba 1, do you have any Boba balls? And Boba 1, this is Scooter calling. What would happen if you cryogenically froze Boba balls? Could you do that for me? Over. Go ahead, Boba 1. Boba 1, are you there? Boba 1, is it Fennec Shand? I never, I'm not good with names. Boba 1. Boba 1, can you hear me? Are you there, Boba 1? I feel like a little bit that's a Judy Blume. What if I wrote that? Are you there, Boba 1? It's me, Scooter. No one's pushing for Judy Blume's Star Wars fan fiction written by Scooter. So we have those two ships. Boba 1 is pursuing it. There's a doctor on. Is there a doctor on board? There is. Dr. Pershing. Shut your mouth. This isn't your laboratory. So we got a person that doesn't appreciate, how do you know? I guess maybe that person knows more about. For this guy to be such a know-it-all, I said, you're flying an Imperial shuttle, dude. Take it easy. We get a Boba Blast, ice cannon, ion cannon, actually. All down. Prepare for boarding. Pirates, ship goes up in front. That was cool. So we were in the cockpit of the Imperial shuttle, and then Boba 1 goes up in front of us, and there's good music, and you just say, whoa, if that happened and I was on that, I would be intimidated. I put so cool and intimidating. Pilots have soft helmets, ? That's a good point, Scooter. I don't know if shuttle pilots dress different than... I do know shuttle pilots dress differently than, other type of pilots, and they had soft helmets on. I'm not into the deep dives because I don't want to get spoiled, but they also, I said, what are those badges they're wearing or labels or whatever? There's good clank, the door opens, we get the Mando whistling music, hands are up, before you make a mistake, this is Dr. Pershing. We're not, is the kid, okay, grass Pershing, stay back, dropper, easy, pal, not with him out, buddy takes him out, listen to me, top time, target out, ear hurts for Pershing, Mando, blue pump music, title 5. Titles, ! Even more up music than normal after the title. It had a little bit extra fanfare. Okay, and then we'll come back. So let's run it. So right now it's going through the recap. And, you know, who would skip the recap? I guess people would. We see the other Mandalorian people. We see the lab. We see the fish person whose name I already forgot, Dr. Pershing, Ahsoka Tano, Grogu. I knew how to pronounce Ahsoka Tano, but now I can't do it anymore because I said there's no S in it, I don't think. But it's not Ahsoka Tano either. So then we see, okay, and we got the... What I think was interesting is that there was a little bit of a reference to Battlestar Galactica, the 70s series, and then, of course, a wonderful star from Battlestar Galactica, Kate, from the more recent Battlestar Galactica. The finale was right around when my daughter was born. Okay, now my screen's going through the Star Wars thing. That music, which is a nice theme. And then we start with the lasers, I think. And the chase is on. Oh, I got to turn on the closed captioning. Holy mackerel. don't know. The problem is then I have to remember, then I have trouble turning it off. And then my daughter says, no. And then I always end up exiting out because we watch TV on our Xbox. So that's like not as, it works great, but it's more complicated than, well, when your dad's running in. Because it doesn't have its own remote. So you have a remote, I have a remote that works with it. That works well, except when I'm working it. I would like to know also what the symbol on Boba Fett's chest means and his new painted stuff. Boba One comes in, a couple of soft helmets. I mean, talk about soft helmets. There's, oh, those are first order things, I think, on their sides. But those two are soft helmeted. These two, they look like they're related. The two pilots, one is more cranky than me in the morning. Now we have Boba One passing by. They're looking around. Pershing is not super nervous, I guess, because he's just, I don't understand. I'd like to learn more about this Dr. Pershing. Like somehow he must have some other secret motivation we never know about. That's just what I'm guessing. Boba's dealing with the pilots. The pilots are dealing with Dr. Pershing. Then they say, leave it alone, drop trooper. And the one pilot thinks he's going to bargain. Then he starts talking trash about Alderaan. Because he's like, I got a top tier clone engineer here. And I want to use him for negotiation purposes. You wish you never left Alderaan that I toasted. I saw the tear. You know what else I saw? I was working that day. And she tries back like a little joke. He says, I was on the Death Star. Which one? Sounds like he says millions of people were on those bases, which said, really, millions? But maybe he's talking about Alderaan. And, you know, he's got a wild view of things, which she says bye-bye to him. Then Mando turns towards the camera, and he's a little up in blue. Beautiful in blue is our Mandalorian. And then we get the title, and then we see two moons and a planet. And it's kind of like a desert-style planet. Boba One's going in, and it's a planet with, like, these giant power plants or steam plants or something, which is a really cool effect. I love anything, like, giant stuff. And I don't know what they're doing. They could be creating atmosphere. They could be making power. They could be doing something else, but they land. We see another ship. I don't know, like somewhat not a fancy ship, but a ship that looks like it could go fast, and a cantina, and Mando and Boba walk into a bar. This bar had a lot of daylight though, and everybody looks at them like, "Oh boy, got a couple of Greedos," and then we see that it's characters whose names I can't remember, but eventually I may. And Mando and Boba walk over. I'll remember them. Maybe. Mando says, hey, what's up? And they say, we're not bounty hunters. I need your help. We serve a higher purpose. He says, they took the kid. Who took the kid? Moff Gideon. Well, good luck. You'll never find Moff Gideon. He's beyond. Well, we found him at a power plant or something. Boba Fett does not appreciate. He's like, I don't like this attitude. They say, we don't like you wearing that armor. You know, you're not a Mandalorian. He goes, yeah, no. They call him a sidekick. And then he says something like, I didn't understand. So they kind of have the two sidekicks have a showdown. Neither one will be sidekicks for very long. They're both obviously leads. And Mando says, I got Moff's in a light cruiser. I could give that to you. Boba Fett says, dude, I could use a light cruiser. You didn't offer it to me. And they said, we could take it back. Mandalore, he's like, it doesn't exist. They say, you're a disgrace to the armor. He says, this is Boba. My armor belonged to my father. He knows she's a princess, and then they kind of say, we don't like clones, my voice might be the last one. Then they dance, a little dance off, learn that Boba's not as tough as he acts, he's pretty evenly matched, And then they do a little flame out and they say, enough, enough. We never should have lost our planet. Let's cut this out. If we could have just gotten along, we're all hot-headed. We'll help you for exchange for the light cruiser. That way we get back Mandalore. And if we do, we'd like to have you help too. I really think you're great. And, you know, we got to get out of exile. Mandalore says, fair enough. And then she says, also Gideon has this thing and he had Darksaber. Ancient weapon that can cut through anything except pure Beskar. I say, okay, good exposition. And she goes, I'm going to take that back from the Moff. So just let me, the Darksaber's restored to me. Then Mandalore will be in my reach. And I say, I wonder if this is forming a showdown for next season, you know. And Mandalore says, the kid's my only priority. So then we go to the planning session. We got Pershing. He's like sitting there thinking. They check out the light cruiser. Used to have several hundred of a crew. Now it barely has anybody. And Pershing says, well, not exactly. It's got a platoon of dark troopers, garrison. And those are the ones that grabbed the child. How many? And he goes, these are third generation. They're not suits. He goes, the human was a weakness. So they're droids. Mandalorian gives, they say, where are they bivouacked? He says, they're in cold storage because they use so much power in the cargo bay. So they're kept at the ready. Fennec says, how long to power them up? A few minutes. Where's the kid? The brig. You know, easy enough to find. Okay, we'll split up. Mandalorian says, I go alone. They say, fine. And, I'm sorry, I cannot remember the former queen of the Mandalore, what her name, but my brain is just not. But she comes with a plan. Phase one distress call on the ship, Pershing ship, the Lambutta shuttle. Then we emergency land, block the fighter tube, cutting off any interceptors. Then we disembark maximum initiative, neutralize the launch bay. And then go through the, make, you know, go into the decks. Will be a misdirection for you. You slip through the shadows, get the kid. And say, oh, geez, well, the dark troopers could be skanking the old scud pipe. And she says, can't you shut him down? And Fennec says, yeah, take his key and seal him off. Anything else we can handle? And then we'll meet you at the bridge. Then we go into hyperspace with Boba One and the shuttle. And we see through the bridge. Let me just run through my notes. This is we already went through. What do we got? Mando and Boba walk into a bar. Oh boy. Spotchka. Spot a couple other Mandos. No helmets. Need your help. Boba does not like sidekicks. Mando offers the light cruiser. Turn that planet to glass. Father. Something. Something like backbone. Something. I don't know. We will help you in exchange for ship. Fair enough. Something warp out through anything. Almost anything. Anyone. Pure Beskar. Help me rescue the child, and you can have anything you want. He is my only priority. 826, three ships at sunset, Pershing in cuffs, blueprint, third generation suits no longer. Cold storage, few minutes perhaps, brig, split, I go alone. Phase one. Misdirections, your ship, you slip through the shadows, real stink in the scud pipe, nut at something, hyperspace, Moff Gideon is mine, I need him, as long as he smirks, live to talk before those two. 2743, that's their number. Emergency docking, launch TIE fighters, gets a look. Oh, this was like 11:45 on the bridge. So whoever's playing like one of the senior deck officers is someone I recognize, but I haven't been able to figure it out even on, I think I looked on Wikipedia. She's from something else. A really great actress, but she's just playing kind of like the head, I don't know, like the admiral or something, or the commander of the ship. And Moff Gideon says, she's trying to get something done. And he says, launch the TIE fighters. And she just gives him this look, this WTF look that I love. That's at 11:45. TIE fighters launch music, request denied, clear the launch tube, stand down. Hoo hoo, woo woo. Boba breaks, Moff mad, hang on. Boba busts them out. They toked the launch bay. Moff stressed, activate the dark troopers. Oh yeah, 13:45, the industrial trooper music. Their eyes go red, very old school Battlestar Galactica. The Mando comes off, all is quiet, squad, all clear to clear bridge, all spike, oh, there's like a trick while they're on a bridge, little trap, but the jetpacks solve that. Mando sneaks, troopers, umbilical cords go loose, steamed cargo bay, cover me, sneak and shoot, troopers break free. Mando sneaks, gun jammed, got you, elevator, troops march, Mando gets there, a little late, it has to take on one trooper who gets free. You see that they're very tough nut to crack, but not tougher than Beskar. Artok, airlock, goodbye. Dank Ferrick, need help, birding fair, weapons system disarmed. Where's Gideon? Mando takes out guards. So let's run through that on the live screen here. Can't believe my brain can't remember any of the characters' names. I mean, this is why I make a sleep podcast, I guess. Boba Fett, Mandalorian, Din Djarin, Fennec Shand, and then who's it? You think of the real names, but not their characters' names. I mean, this is, of course, why you make a sleep podcast, though. Okay, so we see a shuttle. Boba One's in trailing it. They head towards the thing. I always wonder, they say, wasn't it different pilots when we sent that ship out? They say, okay, Lombada Shuttle 27, you got to get some emergency docking. And they say, hold on, we're going to launch some TIE fighters. Don't do anything. They say, no, we're nervous. It's Boba One. And they say, yeah, just wait for us. Stay clear. We're deploying. And they say, have you heard of Boba One? There's a load of Boba Balls on here. Weaponized Boba Balls. They launch two TIE fighters. Yeah, which is pretty cool. I don't know if we've seen this kind of activity before in such a detail. And then some really good piloting to make the TIE fighters go off course. And then they go right into the launch tube, which just was their plan. They're the skank in the scud pipe or the whatever, skink in the scud pipe. And they say, wait a second, negative. Oh, Bo-Katan. I'm sorry, Bo-Katan. But they fly in, clear the launch tube, but then everybody's like, oh boy, we got a ship coming in here. Hangar control, stand down. Whoa. Oh, that's what that said. Did they manage to land in the launch tube very easily? So that is good for, I mean, that's like a design flaw. A lot of design flaws in these Empire ships and bases. Oh, yeah, you only need one place to launch TIE fighters from. What do you think? Somebody's going to come in there and land? And they say, well, it turns out somebody did. Bulba has no problem making quick work of the TIE fighters and then jumps to hyperspace. Then there's cool steam, clear the launch tube. What are you doing? Taking stormtroopers out. That's what we're doing. Should never stormed any troops. And this is cool. Like, this is a great, I mean, this episode has really, really great action sequences. So we get this really extensive, like, sneaking, like, boarding party action sequence, and then interspersed with Mando creeping, and then the dark troopers getting activated with, again, like, thematic music that fits it all. Yeah, the Mando comes down in the steam. Must be hard to walk down. You really have to have good. Here's the thing: if you enter the Star Wars universe, make sure you have shoes that have good grips. Because if you got to walk up and down all those ramps, you want to have a good traction. So Mando's looking. Then there's a cool bridge over like a space hole, which I don't know. I mean, for dramatic purposes, it serves something. I don't know what purpose it would serve for the ship to have a space hole, like a big space hole. I mean, I'm sure it does serve some purpose. They say, oh, yeah, it's good for, some, you know, it's how we get our vitamin D and stuff. But there's like a double trap. So at first it seems, oh, no, all is lost. But we realize that the two Mandalorians are out. They take out those stormtroopers. There's smiles and there's more action. And meanwhile, Mando's, he has to do some ducking and dodging. He manages to go on stealth mode and avoid any contact, which is a reason in the moment that everything happens. It's, you know, 3-2-1 contact. But yeah, so he's sneaking. Looking around, whatever you call it, the dark troopers are pretty much ready to go. They hit like 80%, and there's a lot of them, and they got a lot of cool lights. And then they get into a hangar or storage. Yeah, I guess a storage hangar, cargo bay. Cover me. But they make their way through. Like Fennec really shines. Like action style, like there's all the characters get good action moves, but Fennec has the best moves. Yeah, or Lucis does the coolest, like, yeah, dodges out of the way, leans out of the way. And then they go down a hall. They're covering, you know, everybody's covering one another, which is always nice. The dark troopers are starting to march. So they're getting ready to leave cold storage. You know, which no one could like. Mando's looking. He encounters this one droid, which was like up in the episode art. Like some sort of protocol style droid. Yeah, then we have the hall, like another hallway. They're getting closer to the bridge. Those are the elevator to get to the bridge. Gun jams, uses it as a tool. We see great teamwork, everybody covering one another. They get to the elevator, trying to fix the big weapon. Alarm's going off as the dark troopers get ready to exit. Mando sneaks around the corner right as the door opens with one dark trooper stepping out. He's like, oh, man. So he tries to lock the door, and one of the troopers grabs the door. Because he's doing, and then opens it really strong, but the door's still trying to close, so only that one trooper gets out. And him and Mando have to dance for a while, and Mando's helmet gets dented. Mando, like you just learn, yeah, these are tough nuts to crack until you have the best scar. But really cool usage of, like, I don't know, of actual mechanics. Like, I don't know if they went to, like, what do you call that? Like, one of those factories where you, I don't even know what that technology's called, but, you know, with arms and motors and stuff like that, robotics. But The Mando opens the old, he tries to open the airlock once, then that's when he Beskars the trooper. Oh, first he whistles it or whatever, uses his whistling birds, which gives him enough time to get his Beskar tool. And then he like opens the airlock and he said, that was too, again, I did not say, oh, that was too easy. I said, well, I did say a little bit. I said, all the dark troopers go out of the airlock. That's like billions of dollars, probably. Meanwhile, they're trying to fix their gun. Bo-Katan's saying, oh, Cara Dune and Bo-Katan, are you going to be ready? You don't worry. They go down a hall from the elevator to the bridge, and they make quick work of it. And again, this was like, this was the first time I took pause, because it was like halfway into the episode, and they already took the bridge. With authority, no, they get the keys, Wesker weapons, Koska Reeves, weapon system disarmed, no Gideon, and we see two stormtroopers guarding the brig, Mando rolls up on them, he doesn't have a problem with that, goes into the room, Moff Gideon and Oso are in there together, with the dark blade. Oso looks a little down. He says, Papa, Papa. And Mando says, do not test my patience. This is my kid. But then Moff Gideon says, put your blaster down. He says, okay, I will. And he says, push it over here. Very nice. Mando says, just give me the kid. He goes, the kid's fine where he is. He says, this sword used to belong to Bo-Katan. Yeah, I know everything. No, you've been traveling with Bo-Katan. Assume I know everything. Yeah, your wrist launcher is fired. It's a one and only salvo. Mando goes, what are you doing? And Moff Gideon says, yeah, I bet Bo-Katan and her boarding party are here. They arrived at the bridge. They didn't find me. Ha-ha. And he goes, she's really looking for this. But I'm not here. I'm here, not there. And Moff Gideon says, he's saying, oh, I represent order and peace in the universe, blah, blah, blah. Now they're going to worry. He goes, but she really just wants this dark blade, a dark saber, because it brings power. And Mando's like, he goes, yeah, whoever wields this sword has the right to the Mandalorian throne. Mando goes, listen, dude, I just want the kid. I don't know what you're making speeches about. Why don't you just hit the road, take your fancy sword, and he goes, yeah, I already got what I needed. Some samples, wanted to see, get an idea. He's very gifted, this child. And rare properties, potential to bring order back to the galaxy. And Mando looks at Oso, Oso looks at Mando, Big Eye City. And then Moff says, I see you have a bond with him. Shakes his head. He goes, take him. He goes, we'll go our separate ways. Because you got to get off the ship, though. And Mando goes, sure. And he goes to pick up... Oso, of course, Moff tries to double-cross him, but Mando's in his suit of Beskar. And, Moff has the initial initiative, but this is a big mistake because, Mandalorian, can dance. So they have a flag dance where you dance with your flagpole things? Oh, ribbon dancing. And Mandalorian's like, I got a ribbon dancing spire made of pure Beskar, man. There's no chance. Moff Gideon is not, he doesn't listen. But Mandalorian doesn't have any problems out dancing Moff Gideon. And, makes quick work of Moff. And you say, okay, again. You say, okay, that was only 5 or 10 more minutes. Okay, let me run through my notes. Okay, opens the door, oh so cuffed, looking sad, mouth with the blade, drop the blaster, kick it over, give me the kid, kid is just fine, long talk, you keep it, I just want the kid. Very well, I've already got what I want. Oso and Papa share a look, I see your bond, Moff shakes his head. The old double cross, 2330, it's on, hottest best car. Not a match, you're sparing me? This should be interesting. Then we see the back of Bo-Katan on the bridge, turns, Mando and Moff, and Droid, something, share, everyone a bit stunned. I yell, oh no, laughs, just take it. Oh, I yield. How many? Fanny, none, music, 2625, troopers on board, a platoon. Troopers much? Oh, troopers march. Moff lays on something. This is what had me stressed. There was always a blaster close to Moff, and then it got even closer. And since I knew, like, there was that the mystery bard cried, I said, oh, no. But don't worry. All will be well. Scantily claws. Mando sets Oso down. Don't worry, kid. Dark troopers music. Seal the blast doors, they march, they're here, helmets on, door punch mode, Moff smiles, blasters up, Moff makes a speech, Moff, something, oh, then there's various shots of all the squad's reaction, trooper doors, tension, alarm rings, X-Wing, one X-Wing? Great. Incoming craft, identify yourself. Osoku's ears move. Troopers take a break. Why did they stop? Music changes. Moff breathes. Shots of the squad. Cloak on the security cam. Bo-Katan whispers, a Jedi who makes quick work. Green lightsaber, kicks him behind. Oso waddles or something, warbles, I think. 3125, gloved hand. Moff watches on multiple cams as the squad goes down. Moff makes his move, which is a total fail. But that was where it was stressful for me. Moff makes one last attempt. Fails three times or two times. Jedi, it's easy work for the Jedi. Oso puts his hand up on a screen that shows a security cam. Mando sees the last group of troopers go bye-bye. Mando watches. Then there's more reaction shots of the squad. Total Jedi crushing the can mode for the last one. Oso blinks or something, looks at Mando, groans, pick me up, Papa. Open the doors. I said, open up the doors. Like Elsa said, or Anna said, open up the gates. What are you, a wild man? 3419, Stever Gran lightsaber. A green lightsaber, big belt buckle. That was the one thing I didn't recognize. I said, wait a second, is this who I think it is? Because I don't recognize that gigantic belt buckle. WTF, old theme, so that kind of aligns. And Mando says, are you a Jedi? I am. He puts his hand out. Come, little one. Oso hides behind his chair. Mando picks him up, holds him. Facto. Three question marks. Oso touches helmets. Oh, face to face. Soft keyboard music. Visor off. Oso looks. Touches chin. All right, pal. Time to go. Don't be afraid. Sets him down. Oso coos and hugs his leg. Then a D2 of R2s comes in, rolls up. Kids love D2 R2s. It's not going to not spoil it, but I don't know. He goes from three legs to one leg mode, which Oso loves. Then R2 bows. Oso and R2 communicate. R2 squeals. Jedi and Mando nod. Oso goes, "Yo, Jedi, pick me up." That's my favorite part. There's big music. Jedi and Oso, "May the Force be with you." And there's kind of like a zoom out, dolly shot out. Oso over the shoulder. And then there's big Mando music as Mando and the squad look to the elevator. And then we get face shots of Mando and Oso, tears, crying. The door closes. In the episode and the season almost end, there's a little teaser trailer, but there's no art. They just go through the credits. And then we see two sons, the Hutt Palace, Gamorrean guards, some hut on a throne, not a hut that I'm familiar with. He says Demuska. And then there's a blast. Fennec shows up. She's in the house. And then Boba rolls up. In the hut says, "Oh, Boba, hello. So glad to see you. Heard you, there's so many rumors about you going bye-bye." And Boba goes, "It's time for you to go bye-bye." There's really good music. And then it was very piratey. I mean, in a good way. Like, this was like a Pirate's Life for Me style. Like, Boba sits on the phone. On the throne. And Fennec goes and grabs, like, whatever that drink's called. The blue drink, and she brings it over and like sits on the side of the throne. It was so cool. It's called The Book of Boba Fett. And that was the end of the teaser trailer. So let's hop back. We got the back of Bo-Katan. She's glaring. Then Mando comes and he's with the Moff. She's like, "What in the hey?" Moff's like, "Hey, what's up? Lost the Darksaber to this cat." And Mando goes, "Yeah, we got him." She goes, "What happened?" He goes, Cara Dune says, "We needed him. Now the Republic's going to get to interview him." And Moff goes, No, not about that. She needs that Darksaber. She's got to win it in battle." And Mando goes, "No, I yield. Just take it. I don't need it." And he goes, "No, it belongs to you. It's like, got to win it in battle." So it sets up some tension. And Mando tries, he says, no, it's a mythological weapon. Must be won in battle. Hardy har har. So it kind of creates some unintended consequences, clearly. Mando goes, "Come on, just take a thing. I yield. You won it. This is fair. We work together." But Moff Gideon's cracking himself up. He goes, "It's not the Darksaber. It's the power of the story. She's a pretender to the throne. Hardy har har." And she goes, "Well, he's right. I can't take it." She says, "He's right. I can't take it." That's when the dark troopers come back. That's when Moff Gideon thinks, "Oh boy, I won again. We're being boarded. How many life forms? Zero. It's the dark troopers." So they come on board. There's some cool shots and, of course, the great music. You're about to face off with a platoon of troopers. You're toast. You couldn't even handle one. And he's really, pleased with himself. Oh, they actually go up through that space thing. So maybe it was for them. Where the bridge is. So they start marching. Some of them, I think they land on different parts of the ship, or maybe not, maybe just that one part. We get to see the security cams, and that's when we have all the tension. Definitely like a few cool minutes of tension building. Like, it's really well done, because you say, okay, no chance. And we see them go into door pounding mode, which is really cool. Everybody gets ready, takes their breaths. Like, okay, we'll still get this. We're going to get through this somehow. Like, when they go into door pounding mode, it is cool. So they, I don't know, everything builds up in a really good way. And the Moff is like so pleased with himself. And it's just this really slow. And he goes, yeah, well, Moff even said, well, you got a lot, but you got a nice team here, but this is it. It's over. I don't know if he's talking to Mando or to, yeah, I guess he's talking to, I don't know, he's talking to Mando. Child be mine and the Darksaber. And that's when we get to Jedi, which we were, I mean, I didn't realize which Jedi it would be, but I was like, oh, okay, Jedi's here, answers the call, but it is a while. And then we just get some more really fun action sequences with the Jedi taking out all the troopers over about 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe. And some really fun stuff, really advanced level Jedi stuff, like pulling, pushing. Then Moff tries to take out, yeah, he does take the three-part plan. First he goes after Bo-Katan, fails. And then he goes after Oso. Mando dives in front. Then he tries to de-Moff. And Cara Dune says, no, you're coming with me. Then we get more Jedi. And a lot of different shots, too, of the Jedi, like close, like, I don't know, the shots from the cam, the security cameras, the, I don't know, like, anything kind of moving forward, it kind of sets, I don't know, just really enjoyable, I guess what I'm saying. Also, you get really good shine on the Dark Troopers, because you have the last group of them, right, like, by the door, at the, waiting for the elevator. And that's when this Jedi comes up, and even in close quarters, it's like nothing doing. And Mando and Oso are watching. They're like, holy moly. So then, but I guess everybody watching is like, well, what if it's not a good Jedi? Which for a second I was like, what if it isn't a good, what if it's like, what's his name? The dude, the Jedi that didn't wear a shirt. I said, what if he's got no shirt on underneath that robe with a giant belt buckle? But we see that he does. We see it's a familiar face. Super youngster. You say, holy mackerel. Hello, angel eyes. Then, yeah, Oso watches. Says, come with me. And then Mando says he doesn't want to go with you. And he goes, yeah, he wants your permission to come. So he says, yeah, he doesn't want to go with you. You know, Jedi, sorry. He goes, yeah, you just want your permission. He's strong with the Force, but he's got to get some training. And he goes, don't worry, I'll protect him. Everything I have. But he was only going to be safe if he gets his abilities under control. And Mandalorian goes over there, picks him up. Oh, boy. Holds him. Must have been tough for all the other actors to just have to stand at attention. I'm looking at Fennec, and she is standing there. And the man says, oh, don't worry, I'll see you again. I promise. Oso's looking at him, touches his helmet first. That's where we see this great journey of the Mandalorian character, in my opinion, and his helmet and his belief system. And then the introduction of not just Boba Fett, like Bo-Katan and Boba Fett, as these other branches of armor-wearing, Mandalorian-related type situation. And like Boba, Oso goes, oh, Papa. Stroke your beard, and Papa has to close his eyes. He says, and then he smiles. It has to be hard for the Mandalorian, right? Because he's like sworn off. And he goes, time to go. And Oso goes, oh, and puts his ears down. He says, don't be afraid. This Jedi, he goes, you know, I'll be coming to visit at some point, and the Jedi will keep good care of you. We see a great shot of the Mandalorian's leather boots. As Grogu hugs one of them, and he looks down. That's when R2 rolls up, and Oso whips around and says, what in the heck is that thing? Two legs, switches to three legs. Oso has to walk up to it. And then they talk. R2 does the R2 thing, like where he, you know, vibrates like a trash can. First he bows down. But yeah, they must speak, R2 must speak Yodish. And the Jedi nods head, Mandalorian nods his head. And then he said, the best part is, yeah, Osa goes, yo, Jedi, come pick me up. Change my diaper, man. I don't care if you're the last of the last Jedi or the first Jedi. And they look at one another. May the Force be with you. And he walks off, and then we get this, a couple, all the reaction shots, and then, oh yeah, pretty good one of, like, when they pull out of the Mandalorian, makes one last kind of uncomfortable nod with his strong feelings, and then we get the, you know, naturally, the cry, well, it's a slow delivery, slow build to the tears really do slowly form. And I guess at the right time too, once they're on the elevator, as the elevator door closes, that's when we see Mandalorian has tears in his eyes. And I think Osso does too. I don't know. Do Yodish beings have tear ducts? I think they do. He does the Mandalorian even does like an uptick with his chin. And that's when it closes. And then, like I said, the Boba stuff. So I'm looking forward to that, Book of Boba Fett series. So all in all, really, really great season. Really enjoyed covering it and watching it. And I got to watch the season. I know someone that hasn't seen season one, really enjoyed this season. And especially baby Grogu, the child, Osso. So I appreciate it. And just a couple of things to check in with Wendy Marshtrap about. Good night. Hey, everybody, this is your friend Wendy Marshtrap. It's windy again, like the wind. Though it's okay to call me Wendy, I don't mind. Some people say, how do you spell it? Well, no one sent me any fan mail, but I know that one day I'd like some fan mail. I mean, I don't have anywhere to send it because Scooter would have to go get me back out of the Star Wars universe. Scooter says, not only is it a long time ago, and again, he goes, it's really a galaxy far, far away. And then where I live is in the outer rims. And I guess Scooter gets lost because he says, which way's the Outer Banks? He goes on the map. He says, Outer Banks. And then he has trouble spelling. And so then he ends up taking him longer. And he always says that far, far away. Add more fars in there. Long time to get there. Won't be long ago by the time I get back, harumphity humph. But anyway, I'm Dewey, I'm Wendy Marshtrap, and I'm here with my best friend, Dewey the Dewback. It's funny, Dewey does not read, and Dewey's gotten a lot more fan mail. He even has people showing up, like one of the sand crawlers came by when Dewey and I were out for just a walk, just walking and thinking. And I was whistling. I like to whistle for Dewey. But this sandcrawler full of Jawas came out, and I said, well, I don't need anything, and this is my Dewback, Dewey. And they just wanted to meet Dewey, and they eventually we found a way to communicate. They wanted to shake Dewey's hand, and I said, Dewey's a quadruped. It's not possible. And then they actually trained Dewey to shake hands. I was impressed. Then they wanted me, they said they owed him. I said, yeah, you get to meet Dewey. And then I said, by the way, you know, that's not just teaching Dewey, because there was a lot of Jawas at all, and they were taking their pictures with Dewey. Anyway, I guess I'm just buying time because it's my last time with all of you. And I know I'm going to miss I'm going to miss you. And so I guess I was just trying to take more time. So Scooter would probably say, can you get to the episode, chapter 16, the notes I have prepared for you? Just two things we have to cover, but they're pretty in-depth. We're going over the Star Wars fandom. There's actually three Hutt entries, H-U-T-T. The first one is a Hutt clan, and this is in canon. Also known as the Hutt cartel, or the Hutts, is, you know, powerful CR. I mean, I'm familiar with them. We've talked about it because I'm from the same area. Many famous Hutts and now famous Fetts, but it's a galaxy. They're powerful for CRIME, It started around the time of the Cologne Wars, governed by the Grand Hut Council. There's five Hut families. The clan was one of the members of the five syndicates, and they aligned themselves with the Galactic Republic during the Clone Wars, though they did have dealings with Darth Maul, the Shadow Collective. During the Civil War, you know, we dealt with mercenaries, you know, we had to deal with a group of mercenaries on Tatooine. We established, established alliance with the Galactic Empire. Then after Jabba, you know, power did wane. Is that all we need to cover? I mean, yeah, we had power and influence over the Outer Rim, hyperspace lanes. They did have rivals. Don't worry, I'm saying we. I'm just a little confused. I'm not really that familiar with, they wouldn't have me. I mean, let's just be honest. But their organization, they have the Grand Hut Council, astrography. Hut space was the domain of the Hut clan in the Outer Rim territories. Expanded into the expansion region during the Clone Wars to the borders of the Inner Rim. But the Separatists wouldn't have them. So that's one entry. There's a couple other ones, but I think we covered it. The Grand Hut Council. Or the Hut Grand Council, or the Hut Council, ruling body of the Huts, Nal Hutta, and a number, oh, that's on the Hut world of Nal Hutta. I don't know if I'd ever visit that. I don't know if you'd want to go, like, I mean, not trying to be judgmental, but would you want to go to a world of, I guess some people would. They did align themselves with Darth Maul and the Shadow Collective after the takeover of Mandalore. So I got a feeling this Hut stuff's not done. Hut Cartel. Whoops, I pressed the wrong button on Scooter's thingamajig here. He's going to say, Dewey, did you put your tongue on my tablet? Okay, Hut Cartel. Oh, I clicked the wrong button again. Guess I'm new to this. It's only in one dimension or two. So the Hut Cartel, or the New Hut Empire, was a criminal syndicate. Hutt's Jabba held considerable power. Also, you know, had its own army and Starfleet, dealt with the Zan Consortium in the Old Republic. During the Great Galactic War, they didn't like the Sith Emperor. During the Cold War, we ran the Holonet. And so there's a lot in here. That's in the legends. So there's a difference between canon and legends, I think, if I click that button. But nothing, I don't think anything you're missing out on. So that's a little bit about it. And then lightsabers come in different colors. So Scooter said he went to Vox.com. Phil Edwards wrote an article on May 4th, 2015, about Star Wars colors, Star Wars lightsaber colors explained. So this is, here's some of them and what they mean. So there's green, and it says the mood, peace through force when necessary. Jedi Councilor members who prefer negotiation and mediation, but have strong force abilities, would use a green. Luke Skywalker, Yoda, Qui-Gon Jinn. Red is for evil and power. Sith and Dark Jedi. These sabers are powered by synthetic crystals. Darth Vader, Darth Sidious, Darth Maul, Chiron, Kylo Ren. A light sky blue, that's justice and protection. Jedi Guardians, they're very good with it. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker. A lavender, that would be for a sleep podcaster. Moral ambiguity, Mace Windu, Mara Jade. They could use both techniques, light and dark side, aggressive side. Purple could be a mix of blue and red. Yellow may be for intrigue and pursuit. Jedi Sentinels, Yar-El Poof, Plo Koon, negotiation. That's more of a reddish orange. Yaddle uses that one. Sentinel class, stealth and ingenuity. Then a yellow with a little bit of, like, more of a mustard. That's strength on the light side. Highly skilled, like Kuran. And then a sunset color, physical strength, powerful Jedi, extreme strength, low Baka, use that one. A gray, whitish gray one, calm and clear. Those who are remain calm and focused on the living force. It's Terra Sinube. The Darksaber was even here back in the day. Self-obsession, pre-Vizsla. And then one that's just white is obedience and service. Those with obedience to a larger cause, Imperial Knights. But we saw that used in the season two. Now, how they use them, they come from kyber crystals, which are found in frozen caves in the world of Ilum. Though they could be replaced by Kunda stones. Sith had red-hued synthetic crystals. There are some inconsistencies in the lore, and some categorizations might be of the colors, you know, they may be, and there's quirks abound, so there are caveats. Let's check the fandom, Star Wars fandom.com for lightsaber crystal, also known as kyber crystals. They were widely variety of crystals, gemstones used as energy source for a lightsaber. Crystals that resonated to produce an efficient, powerful blade. In different places, Jedi and Sith used different ones for different skills, colors, and abilities. They could even enhance the force skills of a user. During the Great Sith War, they were used Kunda stones from planet Kadril in place of crystals. What else? After you place it in the lightsaber, you have to imbue it with the force and meditate on the crystal for many days. Significance of colors, they talk about it. They even show pre-Vizsla known lightsaber crystals. There's a nice long list, and force crystals, and holy moly, a lot of stuff, even behind the scenes stuff. But that's it for now. This is your friend, Wendy Marstrap, saying I'll see you soon. Hopefully May the 5th, May the 4th, or whatever around then. But if not, I'll see you whenever Scooter comes and gets me. If you're on Tatooine or anywhere else, I'll be walking. Look for me in Dewey the Dewback. Or if you ever need any travel tips, you could reach me. I don't know how you could reach me, because don't reach me through Scooter, because he says, I'll be back, because they say, you're going to pick me up for May the 4th in your world? And he says, yeah, I'll see you. Don't worry, I'll see you soon. Do you have that recording made? That's what he just said to me. Now I said, oh, let me go do it. Sorry about that. I make a tent under Dewey the Dewback. So I'm sitting with my back against the Dewback. In the sand under a big blanket. That's why I sound so good. Scooter does say that. You sound great. So thanks and good night, everybody. From Wendy Marstrap, Dewey the Dewback, Scooter, and a big salute to everyone involved in the creation of The Mandalorian. Good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the show on Apple Podcasts recently. Meg MB says, occasional insomniac. Don't normally have trouble falling asleep, but when I do, I wake up in the middle of the night, stay awake for hours and hours after I finally relent and turn on Sleep With Me. I drift off. My biggest tip, don't think about it too much. Just close your eyes and listen. CPAP says, this is the best sleep podcast. Thanks for all the times you've rambled on and on with half nonsensical stories that lulled me into dreamland. I've been listening for the past year, never heard the end. If I'm not feeling up for the intro, I'll skip ahead. If I'm needing to fall asleep or feeling anxious, but I know it's far off, I'll listen to the intro and wind down. And I love that you use this space to plant seeds of inclusivity and compassion. For anyone that's not happy with that, maybe you need to listen some more and open your mind. Thank you. Jessica for America says, amazing. I slept for the first time in a long time without taking any pills. There's some ads at first, but I only remember a few things he said. Then I was relief to sleep. Slytherin94 says it's 20 minutes of ads. Harry Styles fan club says, amazing. I don't know what you guys are on. His voice is so relaxing. Thank you for including important topics, making people feel welcomed. I can't even tell you how much I almost cried. Thank you for the small impact you're making. Keep up the good work. Abby S. From Canada says, pleasantly surprised. I have to admit I was hesitant to try this because I tried a lot of other sleep apps and found myself still awake after many episodes. First episode worked like magic and fell asleep within 30 minutes. Never happened before. Someone that has emojis that I can't really see, like a farmer ear and standing farmer ear. Scooter, I've been falling asleep since 2015. Love it. Ready for that person's most worthless. Mike Jake. Did not like the podcast. Pete says, sleep guaranteed. Can't make it 5 minutes before I fall asleep. And DJ Perry says, triple question mark. No idea what the podcast is about because I fall asleep within 5 minutes. So thanks, everybody, for taking the time to review the podcast. I really do appreciate it. Because it helps other people. I don't know. I know people read the reviews and then it helps them decide. Or maybe it says, oh, okay, it does take a few tries. So I really appreciate it. Assuming we exist as a free podcast because people support the sponsors or support the show on Patreon or spread the word. That helps the show grow, helps new people discover the podcast. You could do it without even mentioning Sleep With Me, believe it or not. Eventually that'll help Sleep With Me just by introducing to someone to podcast apps, showing them your podcast app and saying, hey, there's one on your phone. You could start with that one or you could try to download this one. Here's some, well, let me help it. Walk them through the process. Any age, you find that whatever it is, like it was 3 out of 4 people don't listen to podcasts. I think maybe half those people would. They just need to be slowly soft-sold on it, but shown how. Not in a way of like, let me show you how to do it, but say, hey, I don't know if you knew this. Just check this out. It's really easy. It's free. And for everything you're interested in, there's really the great, and some people say this like it's a bad thing, but for everything you're interested in, there's 40 podcasts, and some of those are pretty good. So help them and show them, and then eventually that'll work its way to Sleep With Me. We do have a referral program for people that regularly refer listeners at sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer that you could check out too. And that's it. Just got one more thing I want to tell you about. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Luxe. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress that matched me with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Luxe because Helix has 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping in it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.